The Bible reading today is taken from Isaiah 6:1-8. Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. With each 6 wings, 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 wings they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temples were filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" I said, "I am here, send me." Amen.
Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So there are just some moments, aren't there, in life where the news feels so momentous that you always remember where you were when you heard the news. Can anyone think of any examples of things like that that have happened in your lifetime, where you can remember where you were when you watched it? Princess Diana died. Yeah, definitely. 97. Anything else?
9/11.
Yeah, that was very soon after we first met, John and I. That was. We'd only met for a month. Yeah. 9/11.
The Hillsborough disaster.
Definitely.
I was in Birkenhead at the time.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. I didn't understand it, but I
used to
be very bad.
Yeah.
Feel it,
yeah. President Kennedy's assassination. Yeah,
JFK's assassination.
Yeah.
The first bombing of Manchester.
So
we're going to say that. But I was on the roof, just in an area.
Really, wow. Wow.
And he felt it then.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I was just 7 miles away.
Yeah.
My daughter just actually, if she'd have caught the light bus, she'd have actually been going through the Armdale at that very precise moment.
Wow.
A friend of ours was working behind Holdings in Manchester. They were in complete lockdown by the police.
Wow. So yeah, Manchester bombing. Yeah, these moments that just seem so historic that we know we're always going to remember where we were. The Berlin Wall coming down. It's another one. Abervan. COVID, yeah. Dunblane. All of these things. Don't know if anyone's old enough to remember when the last monarch died. Dolly, do you remember when the king died? Gwenda remembers. Beryl, yeah. Tom, do you remember King George the Fifth dying?
Sixth.
Sorry, everyone. Yeah, no. No, and of course, we've been seeing footage, haven't we, of the Queen, because she was in Kenya at the time when she found out, and she was only, 25? She found out her father had died. And the world completely changed for her that day, didn't it? Completely changed. And there are these moments in history where we feel like the world's completely changed. It might all look the same. We might get up from the same bed in the same house. We might put on the same clothes, have the same breakfast. But there's some kind of shift, like Kerry was saying with the Hillsborough disaster, some kind of shift. The world just feels or looks a bit different somehow. And I really feel like this week, it's kind of been one of those moments. Because the Queen's face is on our money. It's on our stamps, isn't it? And most of us, we can't actually remember a time when she hasn't been there. She's just always been there. And on Friday morning, I was listening to the radio, and I heard someone say that one of the biggest feelings that's kind of around in the nation at the moment is that, like, our sense of permanence has somehow been shaken or been rocked. And we're in this time of change, we're in a state of flux. We were already in that before this happened, really. The old certainties somehow gone. And there was a sense that we'd somehow woken up in a different world. And as usual, the Bible, which is the living word of God. It's not a dead word, it's not a dead book. It's the living word of God, and it can speak directly into our situations. And I really feel it's done that for me this week. And this passage that Pam read for us spoke to me. John drew my attention to it. Thanks, John. But it starts in the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now, King Uzziah, you can read about him in Chronicles. He became king at a very young age as well, like our Queen Elizabeth. In fact, he was only 16 when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years. Not as long as our Queen, but in those days, obviously, life expectancy was a lot lower. So I'm sure for the people at that time, it was like as long as anyone could remember. He'd always been there. And I'm sure for the prophet Isaiah, it was like as long as he could remember. And I'm sure for Isaiah and for the people around at the time, it was like a momentous time when King Uzziah died. A time when things that had felt consistent and secure was now in a time of change, in a state of flux. But let's have a look at the rest of the sentence. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, says Isaiah. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So what happens in the year that King Uzziah dies? Isaiah, God's messenger, the prophet, has a vision of God, a momentous vision of God. And what's it a vision of? It's a vision of God as a king, as the king, seated on a throne. And there's a sense of hugeness and holiness about this vision. Notice how it says, the train of his robe filled the temple. And basically it's just saying he's so vast and immense that even like the massive temple, which is like the biggest building in Jerusalem at the time, it's not even big enough to contain just a little bit of his clothes. So if you listen to the next bit, I'm going to read it to you. It's a bit psychedelic. It's like some kind of crazy magic mushroom sort of dream. I don't know. I've got some pictures of people have tried to draw it, but they just don't really capture it. But anyway, it says this. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. You've got these bizarre angel-like things, but with six wings, and they're flying around. And it says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Here's another picture of someone that's tried to depict it. It's a terrifying and awesome vision of God. And really it's like something we can't really imagine, and Isaiah's really trying to describe it. There's another one. But he's getting a new vision of God. A new vision of God. So in the year that King Uzziah died, God is revealing to his prophet, to his messenger, who is the king? Who is the king? We don't often see the sort of heavenly realities behind what's going on here on earth. But here Isaiah is given like a privileged glimpse behind the curtain, if you like. And this morning I want to say that this week, today, in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, God is still on his throne. God is still on his throne. God is awesome and holy. And we have only, in our tiny brains, we've only caught a tiny glimpse, a tiny fraction of his glory and his majesty and his power and his holiness and his awesomeness. And my prayer is this, that in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, each of us as individuals, we as a church, and we as a nation might catch a new vision of God, the King, seated on his throne. And at this time in our nation of change and flux, as Wendy's been praying about, when governments are changing, when there's strikes, when the NHS is groaning under the pressure, when bills are skyrocketing, and when the climate is behaving strangely, and things in a lot of ways just seem to be going down the pan, we proclaim as Christians, God is on the throne. We can trust him. He is the good and just and glorious ruler. He is the King of kings. Isaiah says, my eyes have seen the King. I want to be able to say that. My eyes have seen the King. But we know that, like Isaiah, we also live in a nation that is fallen. And people all around us have turned away from God. And in many ways, even though we're Christians, so have we. Our lives are often caught up in distraction, in pettiness, in worry, in materialism. And it's the same for Isaiah. When he sees this vision of God, he knows that he's not worthy. He knows that he's a sinner. He recognises, I'm not worthy to stand in the presence of God. And he says this, he says, woe to me. I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. Well, you know what? I could say that. Well, not a man, I'm a woman. But I could say that. I'm a woman of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. So much comes out of our mouths, doesn't it? So much that is mean, filthy, evil, proud, lies, gossip, boasting, slander, unrighteous anger, wrong ideas, defensiveness, self-justification, bitterness. We're a people of unclean lips because we're a people of unclean hearts, aren't we? And so in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, we need a new repentance, don't we? We need a new repentance, a genuine look at our lives and our society and saying, woe is me, I'm ruined. What are we doing? What have we become? How are we treating other people? How are we treating the poor, the widow, the fatherless and the foreigner in our land? How do our lives measure up by the standard of the Sermon on the Mount? Love your enemies, says Jesus. What do the things we watch on TV say about us? What do the things we spend our money on say about us? But notice Isaiah looks first at himself, doesn't he? Before turning outwards, I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. It starts with me. It starts with me. But then in Isaiah's vision, something amazing happens. One of these weird seraphim creatures, these amazing angelic beings with six wings, flies over to Isaiah and touches his mouth, it says, with a burning coal. That sounds quite painful, doesn't it? It doesn't sound very nice. But it's like a symbol of purification. And it has the effect of healing and forgiveness and taking away his guilt. And the seraph says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. There's a picture of somebody tried to draw it again. And as Christians, we can say the same thing, can't we? We can say that through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Christ, we can say, My guilt is taken away. My sin is atoned for. Where there is deep repentance and turning away from sin, turning towards God, our sins are forgiven. Jesus has dealt with it. Jesus has done it. And we're going to fail again, but we know that we can come back again and he will do it again. He'll forgive us again. Jesus has dealt with it. And this purifies us. This makes us holy. This means that we, even though we're rotters really, we can come into God's presence. And God can use us and we can live as God's people. Not because we're good. No, Esther. But because God is good. And because Jesus has done it. Jesus has borne our sin on the cross. Jesus has bought us at a price. Jesus has atoned for our sin. Amen. So in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, we pray for a new vision of God and we pray for a new repentance and turning towards him. And finally, we pray for a new call. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Here am I. Send me." And in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, God's still calling us. God is looking. He's looking for a people who are willing to go for him. You don't have to be good at things. You don't have to be skilled and competent and amazing at everything. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be someone important. He's just looking for people who are willing, with a willing heart, to go for him, to be his representatives, to be the image of God wherever we walk, to act with compassion and devotion, as we were talking about, servanthood, humility, like the Queen. The Queen was always felt that she wasn't a very good public speaker. She felt, you know, but she had this deep humility, didn't she? And this desire to be a servant. She was willing. Sometimes we might have to say hard things that upset and challenge people. If you read the rest of the chapter, what Isaiah is called to say is really hard and not very nice, challenging, difficult. Sometimes, like if you read the second half of the book of Isaiah, we're called to bring words of comfort, words of hope, words of renewal. "Comfort, comfort my people," says the Lord. But there aren't many of us in our nation at the moment who are answering this call. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the Queen, you know, it feels like she's one of a dying breed in a way, really. Well, what's our answer going to be? What's our answer going to be today? Are we going to say the same as Isaiah? "Here am I, send me." Or are we going to say, "Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm too busy. Too old, too young, too distracted, got too much else going on." Here am I, says Isaiah, send me. So in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, we pray for a new call. God, show us what you're doing so that we can join in. And we pray too that across our nation there will be a new openness for people to respond to that call. Who will go for us, says God? Who will go for us? We want to be like the child in the class, you know, the child who's always putting the hand up. Me, I'll do it. That's what we should be. That's where our heart should be. Here I am, God, here I am. Send me. So this week's going to be a significant date that many of us will remember. And the Queen was a wholehearted disciple of Christ, and she devoted her life to serving others in the spirit of Christ, in humility and compassion. And I'll say again what I said earlier. What would we like people to say about us when we die? In the year that Queen Elizabeth died, let's pray for a new vision. A new vision of the King. The Lord Almighty, King Jesus, the King of Kings, in his glory, in his majesty. So that in these times of change and flux, we know that we have a firm foundation, a firm place to stand, a sovereign who is Lord of all. And in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, let's pray for a new repentance. We're a people of unclean lips. But because of the cross, we can receive God's forgiveness, God's grace. And we want others to receive it too, so that they too can come close to God, so that they too can glimpse God's glory. And in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, let's listen out for that call, that new call on our lives. God is still calling. He's calling. He's saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? What are we going to say to him? What are we going to say? Amen. I'm going to pray now before we sing our final song. And I just think that sometimes it's helpful for us to respond in some way. And I just thought, I'm going to say a prayer, sort of responding to that call. Here I am, send me. And if there's anybody who just really wants to renew that sense this morning in a special way of, yes, Lord, I do. I'm willing. I may not be very good at things, or I don't know, but I'm willing. I've got a willing heart. I just like you, as I pray this prayer, if you're able and you want to stand with me to pray this prayer. So if you do wish to stand, please stand now. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for Isaiah and his willingness to go, his willingness to respond to your call. And Lord, we have willing hearts this morning, and we want to say to you, here we are, Lord. Here we are in Holyhead, in New Park Street. Here we are. Send us. Use whatever we have, just like you use that bread and fishes of the little boy, and you multiplied it and used it to feed thousands of people, Lord. You can take the small things we offer, our small selves, and you can do amazing things, just like we saw with Elijah and the jar of oil and the flour. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves again to you this morning. We surrender all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.